The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. Support your healthy CoQ10 levels and blood pressure with 2 chews a day. Visit RadioBeats.com and save 15% with promo code DEAL.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Take the Black Live, the show where myself, Dan Selke of WomensComedy.net, Mia Johnson of Fansetter.com, and our special mystery voice guest talk all things Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, Star Trek this week, DC things of all kinds. Mia, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Don't freak out because I don't have glasses on. I can see. I'm just wearing contacts.
Thank God. I mean, who needs to see in this line of work?
Overrated.
You can just, all we need to do is talk. And special guest today, David Harris, esteemed Winter is Coming writer, editor. David, how are you doing? Where are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today. Excited to talk about all things Take the Black Live.
Yeah, we have quite a full gamut today. And hey to everybody who's joining us. Hello, Julie, of course. Hey, Julie. Hey, Hunter asks, what's going on with Game of Thrones? We will get to it, although the answer is not a lot. It's basically 1 year since the Game of Thrones finale aired, so it's a good time to look back, and everyone is. Hey, Sherry. Hey, Debbie. Hello, everybody. All right, but first, David, the reason I wanted to have you on is because I know that you are a Star Trek gentleman. Am I right?
I dabble in the Trek.
You dabble, so you've seen a lot of the shows then, like the original and Next Generation, and I know there are a whole crap ton in between that. I'm going to name some words: Deep Space Nine, Enterprise,
Voyager.
Twilight of the Voyager. There we go. Okay. So I wanted to have you on because there's a whole lot of Star Trek happening right now. I'm not a Trekkie myself. Mia, are you into the Final Frontier?
I like it a little bit. I see it every now and then.
Okay. And just like all of a sudden, I'm suddenly living in a world where we have how many shows on right now? We have Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access, which is, I'm going to give that like a C+ for a streaming service name, All Access. Star Trek Picard about Jean-Luc Picard of the Patrick Stewart variety. And then we're going to have like this comedy called Lower Decks. We're going to have something starring Michelle Yeoh. And now we have a brand new show called Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
David, which is going to be fun to watch.
Exactly. What's this new one about?
This new one is about the Starship Enterprise, the famous Enterprise, before Kirk became captain. So Captain Pike, played by Anson Mount, is going to be the captain. And it's probably about between Discovery and the time that Pike gets injured and leaves it to Kirk's good hands, about 10 years. So we've got about 10 years of story to tell.
Gotcha. Okay, so... are you excited for that? Are you interested in this?
I am super excited for it. Here's why I'm excited about it, because Pike and Spock, young Spock played by Ethan Peck, were in Discovery season 2 for most of the season, and they were really great in it. Like, they were really energized the fan base for, in fact, their whole season was kind of backdoor pilot to this new Strange New Worlds type whatever show's coming on with Pike now. So they did a really good job there. It got the fans charged up and excited. They started to let their voices be known. Alex Kurtzman, the boss, the Star Trek boss at CBS Access, said, okay, let's go ahead and do it. And we got it going because before this was actually announced, the Michelle Yao's Section 31 show was the show that was going to take place first. And for some reason, that's kind of been put on the back burner, it seems like. And now we've got this new show coming out. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited because you can still see Michelle Yao on Discovery Season 3. She's part of that, too. So,
okay. My thing for both of you is, Mia, you'll kind of know this theme for me from what we're talking about Star Wars. So is that what? That's Discovery, Michelle Yao show, Picard, which is, like, is having a second season. I have someone said it's over, but it's coming back. Yeah. Lower Decks, this one. That's five damn Star Trek shows on television, you know, possibly at once within the next, like, you know, however many years it takes. When I see something like that, my alarm bell goes off, and I start thinking, they're milking it. This is too much. No one needs as much of anything. Why is there this many things? David, you're pretty enthusiastic. Mia, what are you, cool-headed Mia Johnson, think about? Far beyond programming.
Looking from the outside in, I really don't see the problem in it. And to me, I think, like, what we've kind of turned over this before is with Star Wars, you know, we've talked about, you know, the movies, it's never ending, there's always books, there's always series. I would say for this, it seems like, or at least for me, I don't know that much about it. I don't hear that much about it because I'm not really into that inner circle. So for me, it's a-okay. I think if fans want more, if there's opportunities to have all these spinoffs and explore different areas of the timeline, sounds pretty good to me. I really don't see it being too problematic right now. And I'm just let the Trekkies enjoy what they want to enjoy.
All right. So that is one vote for boundless optimism. David, how about you? Where do you stand?
You know, I can see where you're coming from, Dan, because this has the Star Wars effect, you know, like there were too many Star Wars movies at once. You know, especially that year we had Solo and followed by the Last Jedi. So I can see where there might be a little bit of apprehension towards that, but you know, but each show is done so tastefully, and it's fact that it's going on to a streaming service and not some kind of movie, or it's not some kind of 22 episode show on whatever channel.
I suppose
there are hard 10 episodes. I think Discovery's like 12, but they're between 10 and 12 episodes. So, you know, they're sticking to a plan, so it doesn't really get out of hand.
I mean, not yet. So far, we only have two things on the
train. Oh, no.
As Sherry says, when Star Wars slows, Trek ramps up, which is sure, I can believe
that's
that.
That's funny, yeah.
I just always think of, like, whenever I hear this, I can't help but think of, like, the decision-making behind it. Like, to me, at this point, like, shared universe has kind of become, like, a bit of a dirty word, because I feel like it's secondhand for we want to have as much things out there as possible. We have as many opportunities out there as possible to extract money from you. It's like this line between art and commerce that I feel like people that can be easily crossed. I mean, and I watched Star Trek Picard, first episode I've ever watched in my life. I enjoyed it more or less. I thought it was fun. I thought it was fine. I don't know if I will have the time to get into all of these. And I wonder if some other folk will be scared off by the monolithic hugeness of what is now a mega franchise in utero.
Well, you know what? I would put it to you this way. None of the shows are going to cross over. Discovery is going to.
Are you sure?
Yeah, Discovery. Discovery jumped 900 years into the future at the end of their last season. And that's where Pike and his crew stopped. They didn't go into the future. They got back on the Enterprise and covered their escape. So Pike and the Enterprise are in one timeline. Discovery's 900 years in the future, and Picard is in the future of Pike's timeline. Like a few, like however many years Kirk had it, then it was Picard's. So, you know, there's three different captains that we're talking about here. But yeah, you know, so there's different timelines, and as far as all that goes, no one knows where Lower Decks is going to take place. But we found out a couple days ago that Lower Decks is going to be part of Star Trek canon, even though it's a comedy animated show. So I don't know when that's going to take place. But for the main live action shows, none of them are crossing over right now.
I mean, I'll admit that I don't really know Star Trek all that well, so I'll just trust you that's not a possibility.
Yeah.
As Sherry said, the canon broke with the death of the Vulcan world. Is that true, David?
Ooh, that's a good point. that was J.J. Abrams doing, and you had... That's when you... And this is super nerdy, and some of the Trekkies might know this. That's when you had the branch off of the Kelvin timeline. The Kelvin was a starship that Kirk's father, played by Chris Hemsworth, captain, he died on that ship. That's when a Romulan went into the past and killed him and killed the ship. Okay. So they started this whole timeline called the Kelvin timeline. There are several timelines in the Star Trek. Yeah, if you ever look it up, it's worse than Westworld. You're gonna get lost. you're gonna get lost in the timelines.
All right. I mean, of course, again, like, I don't really know a ton about it, so as long as they're high quality, I'm fine with it. I just always want to caution, beware of monolithic franchises that try to overcome you with content.
No.
It's just like Star Wars. Ooh, here we go. As Julie says, it's just like Star Wars, since there's a huge fan base out there, so we just have to roll with it, which is very true.
Roll with it. Yeah.
And yeah. Eric says, and I just had two big shows at the same time, it's not a big deal, which is probably true. I'm just being paranoid. Mia, any other thoughts about Star Trek before we move on to some other news busting topics we have today?
You know, yeah, David made a good point, I think, in saying that they keep everything kind of succinct. You might get 10 to 12 episodes, which I really love that formula, because it's not like the everyday, you know, 20 to 25 order series, and you've got all these filler episodes and nothing really matters. So I'm in favor, like, if they just keep it straight to the point, if they have good storytelling every season, then hey, let it be.
I'm pretty happy with the move away from that, like, 20 episode season that used to be when we were growing up and stuff. I'm fine with this stuff. I know some channels still do it, but not all of them. All right. So speaking of, no, there's no good segue. Move on to other topic. So just like a couple hours ago, it was announced that Internet Myth, the Snyder Cut exists, and we are going to see it. So some quick background for those of you watching this. So the Snyder Cut is a nigh legendary director's cut of director Zack Snyder's 2017 DC superhero team-up movie, Justice League. He directed most of it, and then he had to pull out because I believe he had some kind of family emergency. Joss Whedon came in, did a couple other shots. They released it. The world was like, it's fine. And ever since, fans have been clamoring for release the Snyder Cut, which is a director's cut that apparently preserves his original vision and will be fantastic and better than the Avengers and just a remarkable piece of cinema filmmaking. And today, they announced it's real and it's happening. It's going to come into HBO Max early next year. This is very interesting. Mia, what do you make of this?
Yeah, it was like, wow, that I was like, am I dreaming when I saw that? First, a friend sent it to me, and then I saw the message in my inbox. I was like, wow, this is legitimately being promoted by Warner Brothers, HBO Max, DC. They're like, this is real, guys. It kind of, to me, it's interesting for them. Like, everything that the Snyder Cut represents, with them like going big on this, it's like them fessing up to their mistakes, if you think about it. Or
really?
If you want to call it mistakes. But it's just kind of like, you're really leaning into this, huh?
How do you mean their mistakes?
Well, it's such a messy situation, a messy backstory, you know, like bring in Joss Whedon and, you know, all the different cuts and takes that you've heard about. And it was, from what I understand, it was Warner Brothers and maybe a little bit of those creative differences, but them like just trying to perfect it and it being hacked up so much and stitched together so much that they're like, and here's the final product. And you're like, how's that the final product? So I'm just now thinking of the like kind of irony where they're like, you know what, we're just going to release it the way it should have been. You know, we made no mistakes whatsoever, but we're gonna try again with this.
I will say that they just said that they're not sure if they're gonna release it as like just a 4-hour movie or like a bunch of different little chapters.
Yeah,
like it's a little mini-series thing. We're not really sure yet.
You know what? Just give me the movie.
Are you interested in seeing it, David? Do you want to see the Snyder cut of Justice
League. I do, man. I'm totally down for that slow motion. Slow motion, man. Slow motion movies are so awesome, right? It's 2009 again? We're watching the 300?
Even though, that's about right.
That was his movie, wasn't it? Yeah.
I'm interested.
He also did The Legends of Ga'Hoole, the guardian owl thing.
We talked about that movie.
Did you? Was it good?
Yeah, it was an owl movie. It was a movie about owls.
It was a movie about armored owls.
I watched someone else watch it on a plane once. Okay, go on.
That would have been a great live tweet, Dan. Watching somebody watch the movie on a plane.
Yeah. Okay, so David, so you're genuinely interested in seeing the movie, or are you just being sarcastic?
No, I genuinely am. I want to see what the differences are. I mean, we all know that Whedon is great. He's a genius. What he does. Look at his resume. But it felt like he should have never been brought in for this project. Mm-hmm. It took a bunch of movies that we were all kind of dark and gritty, like, you know, Batman versus Superman, that kind of stuff, where it was all rain all the time and all, you know, just dark. And then you get like Jason Momoa screaming dude and surfing aliens. And it was like, I don't understand what's going on anymore. This isn't the Justice League that I was watching, but whatever, you know. It's not the Avengers. It felt like they tried to make the Avengers out of that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's what they wanted, definitely.
That's what they wanted, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to read Eric's comments here. I hope the Snyder Cut is like the Watchmen movie. Also, Zack Snyder directed that one. I know it won't, but that would be awesome.
Nice 4 hours. I'm not particularly attached to this. I cannot say that I've like sat down to watch Justice League all the way through. I don't know if I've either like fallen asleep through it or had it on in the background, but I have not consciously sat down to watch Justice League. And it was like, usually if I'm like kind of distracted and watching a movie, I'll peep in and be like, oh, you know, I'm just going to sit and watch the whole thing. But for that, I was kind of like, you know what? I'll let it play in the background. So I really don't even know if a Snyder cut would like turn it around for me or not. I just sort of become uninvested in it.
Like, that's my thing. It's like, okay, so let's say the 4-hour grimdark Justice League movie gets released, HBO Max, and it's everything people wanted it to be. Like, this is still the same guy who made Batman or Superman, which was kind of a too heavy by half, sort of trying too hard grimdark thing to begin with. Like, I'm not sure why, like, preserving his original vision means amazingly good. Mm. Like, to me, the whole Snyder Cut phenomenon is a really interesting example of, like, internet fandom kind of making their own fun. I mean, I think the release, my prediction is that the release, the Snyder Cut buildup and movement is going to be way more interesting than the actual Snyder Cut we get.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet yesterday from, I'm assuming it was the originator of the entire release, the Snyder Cut, and they were like, I don't know if the movie's going to be changed at all in the Snyder Cut, but at least I think we're about to get what we want, guys. I think HBO is going to announce it. And I was like, wait. So this whole thing to release the Snyder Cut, you're admitting that it's not going to be that much different. I think you're hedging your bet right now, but whatever.
You know, that reminds me of
something.
What? It reminds me of the New Mutants, because I was reading, like that they were supposed to have all these extensive reshoots, I don't even know if they actually did all the reshoots they wanted to, or if they even just like completed them at all. That's kind of the rumor going around town, is that it's like basically no different from when it was first screened. It's like, at what cost, you know, do you go through this headache? It's like, for what reason?
I was so ready to watch Macy Williams in a mutant film, you know. I was so excited for that. And I hope it's going to be good, but
I mean,
where there's smoke, there's fire.
When that thing comes out, it's going to be fun because it's going to be like a time capsule. It's going to be like, here's what Arya Stark looked like in 2015 or whatever. It's going to be really cool when it finally comes out.
Dan, that was my question for you, Dan, is you talk about internet fandoms doing things. Would there ever be a case where we'd see the Game of Thrones fans get like the unaired promo or the first ever episode like that?
They seem like resistant to doing that. I mean, you'd figure that if they were going to do it, they would have done it, you know, that like unaired pilot. I have to imagine there are like rights issues. Because, like, otherwise, like, slap that in the DVD and make a cool $100 million, HBO. It's so easy.
Yeah.
That one in the first episode of Blood Moon, that would be...
Yeah! Oh, my God. Double bill? So, yeah, I have to imagine there's, like, some kind of rights thing holding it up. Otherwise, it makes sense. As Eric says, he loved Dawn of Justice, which is great. I mean, if you love this movie, it's great. I wasn't wild about it. And Sherry asks, when is New Mutants being released? It was going to be released during this whole coronavirus pandemic, but then it had to get pushed back again. Yeah. I believe it's in limbo right now, right?
No, they just, August 28th.
There we go, August 28th. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I'm sure it'll be pushed back again for some reason, because now that's just what it does.
They're just toying with it at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool that the internet basically made this happen. And by the way, my theory is that they did make it. I think probably that Snyder did have some like footage lying around and like I got some ideas. But
yeah,
I mean,
he pulled up his iMovie and just cut it himself.
Yeah, but like they weren't gonna give him like the money to actually complete the thing without this giant push. Yeah. Again, I think it's an example of internet grassroots organizing, which I mean yelling to Twitter and getting a hashtag going. And I think that's really cool. The movie itself, I could take it or leave it. But I do think it's good for HBO Max because they need some hype. And this is hypeable. If nothing else. It's good for that. In other DC news, by the way, we don't talk about this a lot. I wish they had Blood Moon.
Yeah.
I do too. But this is just so interesting. Yesterday, they announced that Ruby Rose, who is the actual name of an actress and not a superhero herself, is dropping out of the role of Kate Kane, a.k.a. Batwoman, on the CW, is not going to turn back for season two at all. They're going to recast the part. That's weird. What happened?
Who knows? That's what I'm wondering. So I was reading. I didn't see the statement she sent. I'll read it out loud. Says, I made the very difficult decision not to return to Batwoman next season. This is not a decision I made lightly, as I have the utmost respect for the cast, crew, and everyone involved with the show in both Vancouver and LA. And that's just so vague. I'm like, why? I would say, a pretty huge thing. The CW shows have really huge reach. So that was like just a really huge like bomb that got dropped when it was like, okay. You know, I think this is probably one of the first times that's really ever happened for like a major CW role.
And she was supposed to be the replacement show for the Green Arrow. Like she was going to be the dark, she was going to be the strong character, the dark character that Green Arrow was, you know, and after that show got canceled or not, didn't get canceled. It just ended. Yeah. She was going to get her big push. I think, personally, if you ask me, and I don't know that this is true to be true, I think that it had to do with her injury. She messed up her back and could have had her spinal cord severed, but she had to have emergency surgery. And you know, when that happens, it's scary. Maybe it kind of shook her a little bit. I can't imagine the fact that they're going to recast her. It's going to be so weird because I'm a low-key CW hero fan. I kind of watch all their shows. I got into The Flash and kind of opened up to all the other shows. And, you know, I just don't see how they're going to make a new Batwoman. I just don't see it. I mean, she's the main character, obviously, so I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I could only, sorry, go ahead, Mia. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I wonder, since we're kind of just fresh off of season one, let's say it did go on for, you know, ideally like maybe another four seasons, if it would kind of be like, if and when they did recast it, would it just be kind of like, oh yeah, I remember when Ruby Rose was Batwoman, but now we've got this new actress who has carried us throughout the season.
And there's ways they could do it. They had that big crossover this season that where they did up the different universes, and they've all kind of the multi the crisis, and now it's just one that can say that one of the versions of Batwoman came into their Earth, and now she's going to be the new Batwoman. They could
do it in canon, right? Like the one time I was trying to think of like instances where this kind of thing happened before, where like you recast the lead. The one thing I could think of was like the Spartacus show from Starz.
Spartacus, yes.
Where the main actor got cancer like after the first season, and they had to just, they straight up just, here's a new guy playing him.
Wow.
And Polk loved that show, so it can work. It's very unusual though. And I mean, that explanation about the injury makes a lot of sense. I don't know why they wouldn't say it though, you know? Because like, if you don't say it, I start assuming like, drug running operation, like her cult told her to stop, something like that, something weird. But
CW was just as vague and polite in their response to her statements. Totally. So it was like, okay, does anybody hate anybody here? Is there any hate? I want to know if there's any drama going on. No, there's not apparently.
I do too. But I mean,
they have to keep appearances. So.
But yeah, just that's an interesting little turn that just we don't get a lot. Yeah. And I hope everyone's okay. And I hope it's drama and we get a tell-all book in a year. But if it's not, it probably isn't. Sherry, to recast? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Sherry's got the comment about sexual harassment. There was some of that stuff hanging over Ruby Rose's head.
Was there?
Yeah. Nice. Check out.
He needs to crack down on this.
There was a little bit of that hanging over her head when she got cast for the character. So,
all right, we won't go into details on that. I mean, I just figure you don't recast the main role if everything's okay. You know, like clearly something is very bad, but none of our business, I guess. Even though I want to know, but it's not my business, so we'll just move on, I suppose. I want to talk about before we get on to our Game of Thrones retrospective. Today, CBS All Access, again, CBS is just making all the things, released the first images from their upcoming miniseries adaptation of Stephen King's The Stand. I believe it's the longest book he ever wrote, and he writes some long books, so that's saying something. Jeez. About a virus that kills 99% of the world's population and the survivors who try to rebuild. And my question for the group kind of is this horrible timing or amazing timing?
I don't, this has me, it might be good timing. I'm thinking about the Netflix movie. Is Contagion on Netflix? It was one of those pandemic
movies. Yeah, it was one of those.
It like just jumped like straight to the top the top 10 or whatever. I think people are curious about this. They kind of want to maybe go all in on this, alternate universe. What would happen if things just really went south? I personally don't feel like, I wouldn't say offended, but not to be like,
no, I don't know.
They're really coming out with something like this at this time. I'm like, well, this is our life now. May as well get used to the possibility. Have a look into it.
I mean, we've got The Walking Dead, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's another apocalyptic show. Everybody's dead. So yeah,
it is interesting how, I mean, again, like you're right that like when the coronavirus thing started, folk like watched the movie Contagion more. And Stephen King said in his little interview here that people have been buying The Stand more, maybe because they want something to do while they're quarantined, or maybe because there is a genuine attraction for shows and movies about. That are kind of like a current predicament, which if it could go either way, like either I don't want anything to do with this because it's too close to my life or give me it all. And it seems like it's going in the latter direction, which I guess could be good for it. I do like, Stephen King has been having a big renaissance of late with It and Stranger Things, basically a whole is a homage to him. Other movies. This is Castle Rock. This is, yet another entry in the Stephen King essence we are experiencing. The Stand is a epic, sweeping book. Tons and tons of characters. Whoopi Goldberg as kind of the leader of the good people. So, like, the cast is good. You got James Marsden in there, the ever-dependable James Marsden. You got...
Did you say James Marsden?
I said James Marsden. So you're in. So you're
say
good.
No more.
He plays a tough-talking Texan. So, like, I am interested in it, but I was just curious about what you guys thought about that. Like, is there an appetite for plague content during the plague?
Of course. People want to see how life could be. I mean, could it get worse? You know?
I guess it could.
I mean...
But Julie says, no, I'm not with it. Too many people die in real lives, no. Which I think is a valid point, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sick of this stuff, you probably don't want to see a show about... You know, the world being wiped out by a virus, people having to, like, wander through empty streets. And Stephen King was like, I don't know if there's an appetite for this right now. But they can't not put it... I guess they could shelve it until we all forget.
Yeah. That's... What am I thinking about? I think depending on, like, the sensitivity of the stuff... This is reminding... This is so random. Of Fox Animation Domination Sunday had this...
Okay.
Three, like, episode crossover, bear with me, where it was, like, called Hurricane Something. And it spanned across, like, Family Guy, American Dad, and, like, Cleveland Show or something. But it was about a hurricane. Fox had to postpone that episode because it was, like, actually during hurricane season. And there was a really bad one that year. So they were like, okay, we're going to wait a couple weeks to show it. Just because that would have been a little insensitive, especially in the nature of something like Family Guy. So for this, I don't know if it's not like one contained event, like Hurricane Katrina or something, and now we're making fun. This is just, I don't know. So I honestly wouldn't have a problem with it. It seems so like fantasy-like, I hope, that it's not so close to home. But yeah, then again, it probably just comes down to, you know, personal preference.
Yeah. It didn't seem like they were blasted this morning for being insensitive and horrible. So I guess they cleared the first hurdle.
It's not like it's new. It's not like it's new content either. They actually made this in a made for TV movie way back when.
Well, yeah, but back in the '90s, I saw that thing, but I mean, back in 94, we weren't all in the throes of worldwide plague.
You're absolutely right. And I see the comments on Facebook, and yeah, it would be hard for somebody who's lost somebody to the coronavirus, you know, so it would be hard for them to watch. I think you're right. I mean, it comes down to personal preference, and the fact that it's on a streaming service will probably, you know, you have to actually buy the service, you know, subscribe to watch the show. So it's not going to be in anybody's face. They don't want to watch.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think like you don't want to buy like a big billboard for this, right? You don't want to like have like a giant empty streets and like get infected or something horrible like that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where it's maybe pushing it too far. This is reminding me of a history lesson though. I had a really great history professor in college. He was talking about during the Great Depression, though, how when it was just so, you know, unbearably bad, that's kind of where, like, the whole Superman came up.
That's true.
And all these other little heroes, because it's like you just kind of needed somebody to, you know, escape to if you could just read a comic book or, you know, something that didn't show you how terrible your life was. I would say that I'm very blessed and lucky not to have a bummy life compared to, like, the Great Depression or something like that, but... I guess there's so many forms of escapism now that it's not like you can just be like, oh, well, that's all that we have. So, you know,
I mean, we just said 5 Star Trek shows. There's plenty of options.
Yeah.
I think we might talk more about this topic in the WIC Club this month. This whole topic, how does art reflect the time it's in? But we'll get to that a little later. And finally, a couple days ago was the 1 year anniversary of the Game of Thrones series finale, The Iron Throne. And everybody is out there writing their think pieces, talking about what the show means, what a legacy is. And I thought it was a good time to look back and see if, you know, feelings had morphed, changed, mutated 1 year on for both you guys and anybody in the comments watching this.
Ooh, buddy.
And okay, David, go ahead. What do you think about everything a year later.
You know, I see a lot of people talk about the last two seasons of Game of Thrones being, you know, bad. I've seen a lot of people on social media going that way. I enjoyed season 7. I guess I'm one of the few people in that camp that really, really enjoyed season 7.
Yeah, more or less. They're still held together.
Yeah. Season 8, to me, has its problems. I still have not gone back and rewatched it yet.
Neither have I.
I don't think I've had the desire to.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, honestly, that's what it feels like. I don't want to watch Danny's descent, quick descent into madness. It just kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. I don't want to see the dragons die. That hurts my feelings a little bit. I don't want to see any of that, right? So, like, there are episodes that you could pick and choose in season 8. Like, you know, The Long Night, you know, would be a good episode to go back and rewatch to me. I think that would be a good, because, I mean, that's the one where Arya stands out as the hero of the world.
Yeah, you know? Like, ultimately, that one has, like, an upper of an ending, even if folk die on the way.
You could actually end the series right there, and I would be fine with it, you know? I have a problem going back and watching Jon Snow get imprisoned for killing Daenerys, which he should have never had should have never had to do that in the first place. She should have never gone mad, at least that quickly. Maybe start her descent. You know, that's where I'm talking about. Maybe start her descent earlier than an episode out. So I don't know. There are a lot of problems season 8 that I don't think we have enough time to flesh out all my problems that I've had with season 8. But I also don't hate it as much as everybody else did. I just go, well, you know what? It's the show was great for so long, and it ushered in the golden age of television that we're currently in right now. It is one of the pillars of great television. You could take this season away and still have Game of Thrones as one of the best all-time television shows ever. So season 8, you know, whatever, people can hate it or love it, but I just haven't rewatched it yet, so I don't really love it or hate it.
From your tone, I am getting that you are not over what happened yet.
I'm not. I'm really not.
A year has not been long enough. And honestly, I kind of sympathize. Like, I haven't rewatched it either. Like, not like the whole thing through. I've watched bits and pieces here and there. Like, I do feel a little bit like frightened is almost the word. Like, I don't want to, I don't know, go back and like feel some of the things I felt at the time again, because they weren't the greatest of feelings. I will, though. I feel like I'm going to reckon with it. And I have, like, read some think pieces now in that, like, you know, when I watched it back, Danny's descent did make a little more sense. Like, it wouldn't, like, I guess, like, sense that I was looking for it, or, like, I knew it was coming. Some people are saying it's even worse than I can watch. People are saying it gets better. I am curious to go back and try it again. What do you think of the notion that, like, after Game of Thrones ended, it kind of stopped being, I mean, obviously people didn't talk about it as much as it was over, but it did have like a steep kind of drop fall off in terms of like the conversation. I'm not sure if I really believe that though, because like we still get lots of hits on the website whenever we post something about it, so I want people just talking about it quietly. What do you think, Mia? What do you make of, because you were a little bit more distant, because Dave and I were like in the box.
Yeah. I will say, I, where do I even want to start? I think, like, as I was watching the episodes, I was, like, kind of into them. I was like, yeah, these are great. But then kind of looking at the overarching plot, and you're like, so that's how they're going to end it, huh? Then that's where it's kind of like, well, this was, you know, really anticlimactic, at least to me. But as far as a drop-off, I feel like that's just kind of natural. And I feel like we haven't really had anything so big and so large to compare it to. And it's not like something like How I Met Your Mother, Big Bang Theory, where, you know, you get these syndicated episodes and you can air them on all sorts of networks and see them over and over again. It's kind of a subjective thing whenever you want to go back and watch it or interact with the fandom in any sort of way. So I believe, you know, yeah, like if everybody's reading stuff on your side, and the interest is still there, people are still interested in this podcast, I don't think it ever really went away. I think it's just kind of like the big buzz and conversation died, because there's really nothing new to talk about.
I feel like there is a desire to get some rekindled love for that world and that kind of that world that George R. Martin created Dan Weiss created. I'm curious, like, what the reaction will be when we actually get news about the prequel series. Like, if people will be like, okay, I'm ready to go back, I'm healed, yeah. I'm tanned, I'm rested and ready for more, or like, nah, I won't be hurt again. Like that.
I kind of wish...
Release the season, hashtag.
I saw that. You know, I'm worried about House of the Dragon coming out. I mean, whenever it does come out, you know, a couple of years from now or whatever, because the show left such a vacuum, right? For
it did. In a way, it did.
Huge fantasy shows, even like there's nothing out there. Like you can say The Witcher, but that was all dropped at one time on Netflix. Episodic, weekly, you know, once a week shows. They're not out there. There's nothing out there to compare. You can't
but
even like
you all get together at once and just like do it as like a community. There's not really anything like that right now.
Yeah,
and I wonder if the fact that House of the Dragon is so far out to me, it feels like it's so far out from being made right now.
It definitely is, especially with
this pandemic that we're in. That there's going to be a weird. If everything goes right and it gets the pilot gets, you know, whatever favorable reviews from the suits or whatever, there's going to be a weird response to it from fans. Like, is this Game of Thrones or is this a sequel or a prequel? Does this have anything to do with Game of Thrones? That people are going to be just, you know, some people are going to be really hard into it. And a lot of people are going to be like, what is this nonsense I'm watching? You know, they're not going to understand it.
I mean, it's strange, right? Like just the way fandoms work, just like folk who grew up with the original Star Wars movies, for example. And then there's like a new generation of kids who maybe don't care as much. Like the parents love it when the prequels come out and they feel really passionately about it, as we remember. But there are some younger people who are like, what's the big deal? I'm not sure it'll be that much time. By the way, really quick, Julie asked if we read the comments on a Wick post. Yes, I do, Julie. Every single one, because I have to filter out the bad ones.
he has the banhammer.
I'm really curious, too, to see how people will react when it comes out. I am looking forward to it. I mean, I genuinely am. This is Julie, says I want more. I want more, too. And I want my love, like, rekindled. There was one kind of a think piece that was like, I rewatched the final season. I still have big problems with it, but I do remember what it was like to like be really fascinated into all this and just like love the minutiae and stuff. And I kind of miss that feeling. I'm like only now beginning to emotionally reconcile with my feelings for this show. Really, it's taken a while.
Wow.
Well, like, okay, so they did Cersei wrong. We had hardly any Cersei at all.
Do we have to go?
He's ripping off all the band-aids.
we didn't have enough Cersei. She arguably was the best villain of that entire show. You had a bunch of villains, but she was the best, right? They do I have to say it? They did Ghost wrong. I had to put it in there, man. Come on, give me a break. No, Ghost had his moment during the long night. But
Blackwall.
There was a lot of stuff that was just rushed and compacted, and you made me watch the sack and pillage and the burning of King's Landing, which was awful. It was awful. But I could not turn away. You know? I couldn't turn away from that episode because it was so awful. And I mean, it was so bad that I had to watch. I was rubbernecking on the highway watching it. So
that's one way to describe it.
Yeah, but you know, and then you've got morose Jon Snow, you know, marching to King's Landing and doing what he did. There was just, I don't know, man. There was just too much, too much. I'm still ready.
Clearly, I did not want this to turn into a like let's rehash all the problems we have with season 8. More of like a retrospective thing. But I think you're proving the point. Like, I'm not over it. It does not sound like you're over it, David. And I am looking forward to processing these feelings more and hopefully getting back into this world. I want to feel the pure love I felt for a while. And maybe if I do that, we'll see. Yeah, do you have any thoughts on this complicated decoupling process?
I didn't know. Well, I should have known you all feel so passionate about it. And
you can't not. This is in it for so many years.
I know. You're really
it's impossible
it.
Not to.
And so, yeah, for me to be kind of like thrown in the last season, and I'm just like, oh, what did I step into here? It's like
this
that
very podcast was created for this reason.
Yeah. It's like me walking into what's that gif of like Donald Glover holding the pizza like into a burning building. That's me. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? Welcome to this fandom. But you know, I'm glad to discuss it with you because it's a show that's kind of close to me too, so hey, I'm just not here to rip off all the band-aids right now.
Really quick though, Dan, if you were going to heal over this show and you wanted to rewatch, would you start at season one or would you pick your seasons or pick the episodes? Are there could you do it that way? Because I think I could probably go through the different seasons and pick out my favorite episodes and watch it through that way.
Oh yeah, that'd be easy enough. I haven't heard the final season to see what feelings arise, but we'll see. What a fun discussion we've had. Real fast, real fast. Are we watching anything new or interesting? I'm watching Mrs. America on Hulu and really, 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 really loving it.
Yeah. I am doing my first watch of Community now that it's on Netflix. It's hilarious.
It's a great show. That show's
great choice. I'm watching a little known show called Motherland Fort Salem. It's on Freeform about a bunch of witches. Yeah. Who in an alternate world are the Witch Army of America. It's pretty out there and pretty cool. People should check it out.
Sounds bitchin'. All right, everybody. That was an emotional one. This was a good time. I want to see Sansa's raised any child till he or she is able to know the throne. Okay. We will be back next week with more commentary, discussion, etc. and so forth. David, thanks for... By the way, David, Sherry likes Motherland. Good. Motherland was great.
Awesome.
Next Wednesday, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you're interested in getting exclusive videos and articles and a prize every month, you can buy a Wit Club t-shirt at this link and get that going if you like. Otherwise, we will see you back here for our free show next Wednesday. Thanks for watching. And have a pleasant afternoon.
Bye.
Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.